morning and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
Turn to Matthew chapter 12. In a moment, we're going to begin with verse 9. We are in this series entitled Better Than. Last week, we looked at how the Lord taught us that we were better than many sparrows. Those sparrows seemed to be of no value to those in Jesus' day and time. You could have taken a bunch of them, purchased a bunch of them for a penny. He said, not one of those does the Father forget about. They have great value to the Father. Well, this morning, we're going to look at the value that the Lord places upon us as we make this comparison with the sheep. A sheep that is of great value. Let me also, while we're doing this, throw out an invitation to some of you. Beginning this Wednesday night, we actually introduced it last Wednesday night, we're doing a study of the parables where Jesus used illustrations and analogies, where he used comparisons to teach spiritual lessons to us. And this morning, he does that with the sheep. If you know anything about the New Testament time and those in this area of our world, the sheep were of great value. They provided food. Their wool provided material for clothing, and just even today, sheep are still of great value. But at this time, they were very precious to families, even so much so that they were used, of course, in the temple worship. They were the sacrifices that they would use in temple worship. And so it does not surprise me that when Jesus comes to this point in Matthew chapter 12, where he's trying to stress the value of people, you, your value and mine, that he uses this illustration of a sheep. I heard a funny little, I thought it was funny, so I'm going to tell it. If you don't think it's funny, laugh anyway. Please humor me, all right? So make sure that you laugh, even if you don't think it is. Because I don't know if you know this or not. If we're not careful, we think that sheep are smart, but sheep are not smart animals. Sheep are dumb. But I heard the story of a shepherd that thought he had a smart sheep, and this is why he thought he had a smart sheep. That shepherd was out in the hillsides with his sheep shepherding, and he lost his Bible. He laid his Bible down, and he couldn't find it in the time of shepherding as he was moving from one pasture to the next. About 3 days later, this one sheep walked up, and it had his Bible in its mouth. And that shepherd thought, that is so strange. And he said, you must be the smartest sheep I've ever known. And so he reached out, he took the Bible out. And when he did, the sheep spoke to him and said this, I'm not really that smart. Your name's on the inside jacket of your Bible. I think what I want us to see this morning as we get into the heart of the message is this. Every sheep is important. And we see the value of our sheep because of the shepherd. I want to begin this morning. Now, let me try to do this as timely as I can. Jesus is at an important pivotal time in his ministry. Sometimes we fail to take the time to recognize the scripture that we're looking at. We're at a point in the ministry of Jesus where he is preaching and teaching in the cities surrounding Galilee. If you look in your Bibles beginning in chapter 11 or so, it indicates that Jesus has gone out to teach and to preach in the Galilean area. And while he is out there, as he's teaching and he's preaching, while he may be attracting some who are following him, he is also attracting those who will despise him. The Pharisees have taken note of some of Jesus' teaching, and now they're looking to find fault with him. They are stalking him. They're following him everywhere he goes. Maybe not all of them at once, but they are planting people who are following Jesus to try to find him in fault. Especially in regards to the law, the breaking of the law. I mentioned a moment ago, if you were a guest, that you're in the right place because none of us are good around here. There are none of us good. Thank God we don't have to abide by the law today, because if we did, we'd all be in big trouble. But these Pharisees were still thinking that Jesus is leading people astray. He's telling them not to be obedient to the law. So they're watching him. And in chapter 12, as I ask you to turn there in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus and his disciples are going through the grain fields. And it's on the Sabbath. That's the important part of this text. It's on the Sabbath. A day that the Pharisees had such strict laws, not only did they take what God had given, they had enlarged those laws to a degree that a person could hardly breathe on the Sabbath without breaking the law. And so they're watching Jesus and his disciples. Now, mind you, here's Jesus and his disciples going through the grain fields. Why would the Pharisees be walking behind Jesus and his disciples? They want to find fault with him. And the Bible says Jesus' disciples took some of that grain, rubbed it together, you know how you do to get the head, and they started eating it. And in the early verses of chapter 12, those Pharisees said, "Do you not know that it's the Sabbath day and it's illegal to do that? You're breaking the law." And Jesus reminds them in this early text, up through verse 8, that he is Lord of the Sabbath. That he's Lord of the Sabbath. There's this turf war over the Sabbath. And so the Bible says, after that conversation, Jesus departed, verse 9. He departed there, and he went into their synagogue. I find it interesting that it says he went into their synagogue. He went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" That they might accuse him. Now, let me just pause here for just a moment. Most theologians believe that the Pharisees actually planted that man there. That they put him there to see what Jesus would do, knowing that it was the Sabbath. Now, it was not uncommon, however, for men to be in those places, people who had needs, but many theologians believe that they planted this man there because it says that they might accuse him to see what Jesus would do. And so Jesus said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep?" That is our thought for today. How much more then is a man better than a sheep? "Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." Then said he to the man, "Stretch forth your hand." He stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out, held a council against him, that they might destroy him. Our truth for today is simply this. Because God sees us of greater value than sheep, he seeks to restore us. Now, I don't want you to think I'm just spiritualizing a text here. I don't think I am. I think the whole purpose, anytime Jesus used a parable, he was pointing to a higher spiritual truth. And here is a man who is withered, has a withered hand, and Jesus restores him. And I want you to know something today. We do not do enough of this as churches. I want you to know that. I think there has to be a good balance between evangelism and discipleship. I think sometimes we're trying to disciple people that haven't been restored yet. And I think sometimes we forget that our main objective, now I want you to hear me, our main objective is to begin with evangelism that leads to discipleship. Because we've got to win them through the gospel. And when I say me, I'm not talking about through my power. We've got to share the gospel with them so that they can be restored in a relationship with the Lord Jesus first, with God first through his Son, and then from there disciple them. And so every one of us needs a shepherd. All of us. And Jesus is indicating our need for him, the good shepherd. So I want you to turn to John chapter 10 this morning. I'm not going to say anything new to you that you don't already know if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I never do. I'm not smart enough to come up with something new. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun anyway. So when you hear somebody saying, "Come to our church, we've got a new way of doing it," you need to be very careful. Or, "Listen to me, I've got a new revelation." You better be very careful because the Bible is very clear. But I do want us to turn to John chapter 10, and I want to encourage you to read this whole chapter later. I do not have the time. This is one of the most detailed narratives in the Bible where Jesus shares with us that he is the good shepherd. And he talks about him being the good shepherd all through this text. He talks about the porter who is there where the shepherd would entrust the sheep to the porter who would watch the sheep through the night. And he talked about his going to the porter and claiming his own sheep. We're going to see that in just a little bit. He talked about him being the gate to the sheepfold. And in those days and times when the shepherds would put their sheep many time in a sheepfold, it was not always able to be totally secured, and sometimes they did not have a gate that closed, but the shepherd himself would lay across that opening and be the protector of the sheep, the one that was the door. And he has all of these deep truths about the shepherd. And I don't want to skip over all of those today, but I do want to just go to three and encourage you to look at the rest of them on your own. Because we are of greater value than the shepherd, than a sheep, I want you to know somebody's here this morning. I believe without a doubt this message, though it was put in my heart just recently, God intended for someone here this morning from the day you were born, because He knew you. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And there are some men and women, I believe, here this morning. You do not know the Good Shepherd yet. That's not a charge against you. That's to encourage you. To say to you today that God has brought you here to hear Him say some things to you. To hear His Holy Spirit speak to you. There are three things that I want to point to quickly this morning about the Good Shepherd that represents how much He values us. They're found in verse 27 through 29. You can read the rest of these verses on your own later. But here's what Jesus said. He said in verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." I feel a real need to pray right now for this morning. I don't always sense this, but when you're dealing with spiritual things, spiritual warfare especially, you see, I believe this morning that God has brought many of you here, some of you here today, who need what Jesus is speaking of here. And already there's a battle taking place in your life. I know that. I sense it. I sense it already, that there's a battle taking place. A battle where, in a moment, we're going to see something about the Good Shepherd. But we also are sensitive to the fact that while the Good Shepherd is trying to do His work in your life, there's an evil one who's trying to rob you of that, to keep you from hearing clearly the message this morning that He's going to speak to you, not me. The words may come from my mouth, but the Lord has come to speak to you this morning. And so I want to pray this morning, and I want to ask you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would pray for the person on your left or on your right. You may think you know them. I don't know if you do or not. But if they are not yet one who has entrusted their life to the Good Shepherd, that this would be the day that they would. Let's pray together. Father, before we disclose or at least look at these truths this morning, I sense a great battle taking place right now in this place. It's one of eternal consequences. The evil one would love to come and steal away that word that's about to be planted in the hearts of people. He wants to distract people from hearing this morning. He wants to blind their eyes to the truth. And yet, I, along with other believers in this place, resist him in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for liberty, clarity, power, the anointing of your word to fall especially upon the hearts of those who do not yet have that restored relationship with you through your Son Jesus, that they today would be made whole because of the gift that you've given us in a good shepherd. So use this scripture, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Three brief things that I want to point to in these verses to us that I don't know about you, but I think I do if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm so thankful for, that are so meaningful to me. Three things that I see about this shepherd's love for his sheep. Number one, he tells us that he speaks to us. He speaks. Now, you may not see that as important, but I do. Here's why. Unless he speaks, I can't follow. Unless he speaks, I cannot follow. There are all kinds of voices in our world today, would you agree? Voices crying out all the time to us and for us. But there's this one voice, the voice of the Spirit of God, the voice of the Good Shepherd this morning that speaks. And I want to make this real and personal. As I was preparing for this week, God just really began to work in my own life. And he brought to my thought, he said, Roy, do you remember when I first spoke to you? Do you remember that? When you knew for the first time in your life that there was a God that loved you, and the Spirit of God spoke. He may have spoken through a preacher, the Bible, just reading the Word of God, a mother, a father, a teacher. I don't know, but you heard him speak. And here's something that we know about the shepherd's voice. It's distinct. We know it when it's his voice. He said, I speak, and my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They follow me. Some of you this morning right now are like I was when I was 15 years of age and the Lord began to work in my heart. I knew that there was a voice speaking to me. I didn't understand it all, and there was this battle taking place in my life. I knew it. I could sense it. I knew it. And thank God I had people who loved me enough to tell me the truth about a Jesus who died on a cross for me, and that the voice that I was hearing was the voice of someone who loves me deeply. I want you to know this morning that while this may seem too simple a message for many in the world today, there is a voice this morning that is speaking to you if you're not a believer yet in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loves you deeply, and he's speaking because he wants you to follow him. You say, Pastor, where does he want me to follow him? Well, he says in the next verse, he says, my sheep hear my voice, verse 27, and I know them and they follow me, and I want them to follow me because I give unto them eternal life. You see, not only does he speak, he saves. When we choose to follow, now I know this following is a lifelong journey. Listen to me. I'm not trying to make you think that once you make a commitment to Christ, your soul is okay. We're going to talk about that later, but we need to continue to grow in him. But we begin with that initial act of following him, responding to his Spirit. And when we respond, confessing our sin, the Bible says he saves us. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. Now, I'm not a smart fella, never have pretended to be, but I know what eternal life is just by hearing those two words, eternal life. That means life that never ceases. That means life that goes on and on and on and on. Jesus gives eternal life to those who will follow his voice. So he speaks. Yes, for some of you, he's speaking right now. Some of us need to go back to that time where he spoke and we surrendered to him. And though we struggle today, we have our ups and our downs, we know he spoke and we know we responded. We know that he gave to us that which he promised. I love the words when Jesus said that if any man comes unto him, he will in no way turn them away. He will not cast them away. No, he receives us when we confess and repent of our sins. And so he speaks. He saves us when we turn to him. And then I like this last part because here's where a lot of us struggle. This is where a lot of people struggle. He says, in verse 28, the latter part, when he says, I give them eternal life, he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Not only does he speak so that we can follow, all that simply means is we respond to the Spirit of God that's doing his work in our life, and when we respond by confession and repentance, he saves us. He gives us eternal life. And here's the good part. That eternal life is secure in him. Not in you. You see, some of you think that you can save yourself, and you're trying really hard. You really are. You're trying hard. You're trying to be good. You're trying to do good. Listen, you can't do it. Your security as a believer is not in you. You need to rest in the one who took it to the cross for you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our security is in him. He says, when you allow me to give you that eternal life, you are placed in the hand of the Father. Nobody can pluck you out of my hand or the Father's hand. You are ours forever ours. And that is such a comforting thought, because I can tell you, some of you this morning, look at me, please. Wake your neighbor up. Some of you are doing pretty good in this spiritual walk right now. And you think pretty good of yourself right now. You think, I'm doing all right with the Lord. I go to church once a week. Sometimes I even read my Bible. Sometimes I read it every day. And you see yourself doing pretty good. But the day might come where you find yourself wayward, like many a sheep has in the Bible. All you got to do is read the Bible. And you're going to wonder, Lord, am I still saved? Lord, did you really do your work? Well, I got a good word for you this morning. The Bible says that when God does His work and saves you, it is eternal. And there's nothing, nothing. Romans says there's nothing can take that love away from you because of the value that you hold to the Father when you trust in Him. This has been a difficult week for many. We lost Billy Graham, you know that, 99-year-old Christian evangelist. I love the fact that Billy Graham lived his life in such a way that I have not heard anyone that can really lay a fault. Now, Billy Graham will tell you he was far from perfect. I was laughing this morning. I was reading some of the quotes again about Billy Graham, and I ran across one by Ruth Graham, his dear wife, and she was asked, said, in all the years of being married to Billy Graham, did you ever think of divorce? And she said, no. In all the years of being married to the Reverend Billy Graham, I never thought of divorce, but I thought of murder a few times. We read a lot about Billy Graham's quotes. We may ought to read some of Ruth's quotes. But there's all these quotes that are out there that Billy Graham spoke for 7 decades. A warrior for the cross. A warrior for the gospel. Now, I'm not bragging on Billy Graham. I'm bragging on his Savior, which is what he would have done. And I thought of him when I read this text, already knowing where we were going this week. I thought of Billy Graham. And one of those quotes of Billy Graham, as he was getting older, he was asked about death. And he responded by saying this, knowing that he was saved and secured by the blood of Jesus, not himself. He said, one of these days you're going to hear that Billy Graham has died. Don't believe a word of it. For Billy Graham will be more alive than ever before. What he knew was the Good Shepherd, which loved him deeply, but he loved him no more than he loves you, wayward man this morning, wayward woman this morning, rebellious son this morning, rebellious teenager. He loved Billy Graham no more than he loves you. God loved the world, that's you and me, so that His Son would become that shepherd for us. Billy Graham said this about that. He says, I've read the last page of the Bible, and it's all going to be all right. You see, I want you to know something this morning. I want you to know that if you're here, you've come to church, quote, in church. I believe the only reason that you're here, if you haven't already been saved and come to worship, you're here seeking. And you didn't even have that thought had the Spirit of God not put it in your heart. Because you can't even find Him. You don't even have a desire unless the Spirit of God draws you. And you've come to this church this morning because the Spirit of God's at work in your life. And I want you to know this morning, there's a Savior, a Shepherd, and He loves you. He wants you to spend eternity with Him. He wants you to walk with Him here. He'll be your help. He will be your guide. He will be your comforter. He will be all that you will ever need in this life. He will make life worthwhile, not free of problems, but worthwhile for you. You'll have someone to lean on. And when you die, and we all will, you can have the confidence in knowing that you have been given life that is eternal. Life where you will spend forever in His presence, giving praise and honor and adoration to the one who died but rose again. You'll spend eternity in a place that is beyond our wildest imagination. And while we can get caught up in that, heaven is simply where our Lord is. And whatever is there is going to be good, the Bible says. It's all about your soul, because here's the other part of that. If not heaven, there is only one other alternative. There's only one. There's heaven, made possible not by being good or doing good or going to church. That's made possible because there's a shepherd who sacrificed his life so that his blood can be applied to your sin. Or there's a rejection of that, where you continue in your sin and are destined for a place called hell. I'm glad Billy Graham, for all those years, preached that simple message of the gospel. Proclaimed that there was a shepherd, a Savior. And if you're here this morning in need of a Savior, I've got good news for you. There is a Savior, and He's waiting for you. The Bible says this: all have sinned, that's you and that's me, and we come short of the glory of God. In other words, we have no hope of heaven if we have to keep perfection. But Jesus came, because He knew the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that gift that God offers you today through the shepherd, is eternal life. Pastor, how does that happen? Well, it happens in your heart. You can't say magical words, but you must confess your need for Him. And right where you sit right now, would you tell Him? Tell Him in your own words, "I confess my sin. It was because of me that You went to the cross. I'm the one that's separated from God." Tell Him that. And through the drawing of the Spirit of God, repent of that sin by acknowledging that it's no longer the life that you desire to live. You want life in Christ. It's called repentance, and God knows your heart. He knows what repentance looks like. We could debate that all day long, but God knows your heart. He knows whether or not you're repenting and turning from sin and reaching out to the Savior that died for you. All because of the Spirit of God at work in your life. And He says this: if you'll call upon Me to be your Savior, to be your Lord, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You're not too bad. Some of you may think you're too good, but you're not too bad. He loves you, and He'll help you every step of the way between here and eternity.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.